Okay, morning everybody. Just before I go into the message, I just had a picture while we were singing really about splitting the sea for somebody here this morning. And you're looking at your situation, you're looking at your life, you're looking at your future, and it's just like a raging sea and you can't see any way through. You know, and like the Israelites, God's just saying, just step out into my plans and purposes for you, but step out and you'll be able to walk through those waters. God will take you through those waters. So morning, everyone. I'm planning to talk this morning about the Father heart of God, because it's Father's Day. It's always Father's Day in the Lord. And in many ways, I don't have to say a word, because we've actually, you know, heard the message in what Tino prayed and what we've sung. You know that God is our Heavenly Father. So can I have the first verse, Alan, which is on your notice sheet? And it's 2 Corinthians 6, 17 to 18. So you could find it on your notice sheet. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You know, that's an amazing promise, isn't it? That God promises us, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, El Shaddai, the Ancient of Days, wants to be in relationship with you. And that relationship is that of a loving father to his son or his daughter. That's incredible, isn't it? I was reading this morning in the Word for today, and it says, talking about fathers, it says, children without caring involved fathers often spend their whole lives searching for a sense of identity and self-worth. Isn't that true? You know, our view of God and our view of ourselves as sons and daughters of God is absolutely crucial. It's an absolute key to living a secure and victorious Christian life. Like we said, sang in that song, you know, it's who you are and it's who I am. And those two truths are absolutely vital. I once saw a lamb being born. I was walking in Yorkshire and I walked past a field of sheep. And this lamb was born. You know, I watched the whole thing, and it was quite amazing. And Sue once saw a foal being born. And what was remarkable was that within minutes of being born, the lamb and the foal were standing on their own feet and walking around. That's not the case with a human baby, is it? A human baby is absolutely, totally vulnerable and utterly dependent on others for their protection and care. And God designed it so that that baby is dependable on their parents, their mother and father, to provide the love and nurture that they need. That's God's deliberate design. You know, God intended, as Tino prayed earlier, that we should know the love of our natural parents, so that later on we could relate to the love of our Heavenly Father. That's the way God's designed it. See, I think that everything we go through in this life is merely preparation for eternity. Everything we experience in this life is a very faint shadow of the reality in eternity and in heaven. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. We're not going to turn to it. It's a big chapter, and I'm not going to read it, but you could read it, 1 Corinthians 15. It's all about the resurrection. But Paul says, first comes the natural, and then the spiritual. We're here in the natural, but one day there'll be the spiritual and the eternal. So everything here is a reflection of what's in eternity. Paul talks about, you know, the first man, Adam, was from below, from the earth, earthy, And the second Adam, Christ, was from above, heavenly, first as the natural man and then the spiritual man. Paul says that we have a physical body, which wears out slowly, but we will have a spiritual body. In the same way, there will be a spiritual body. First the natural, then the spiritual. Moses was told, wasn't he, on the mountain, showed the pattern for the tabernacle. This is how I want you to make it. And Hebrews says that this is a mere copy of the heavenly things. A copy, an image, a reflection of the reality. That's what we experience in this life. But unfortunately, because of the fall, it's all got a bit distorted, hasn't it? And as we heard, you know, many of us, our experience of our natural fathers has not been a positive one. You know, we've not known that what God intended. We might have experienced being abandoned or rejected or abused. And that distorts our view of our Heavenly Father, doesn't it? That makes it difficult to understand and receive the love of a God who we can't see when we haven't experienced the love of a Father who we could see. It's a reflection, meant to be a reflection, but the mirror's got cracked, hasn't it? And so often we look in the mirror of life, don't we, for truth. We look in the mirror of life for who we are, who God is, you know, and it's distorted, isn't it? We look in the true mirror, the Word of God. James says this is a mirror. This is an actual, accurate, rather, reflection of who God is and who you are. I love that, what David said last week. You know, I am that man. Do you remember that in the message last week? I am the man God made me to be. I am the woman God made me to be. It's knowing who God is and knowing who we are. Even those who've had a good upbringing and positive parenthood, you know, I can guarantee your mum and dad will let you down in some way along the line. And even those of us who are privileged enough to be parents, I think we'll all hold our hands up and say, well, we failed in some way. It's part of humanity, I guess, and part of sin. Can we have a look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26? For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we become sons of God, isn't it? Through Jesus. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Alan's done a great job. He is standing on the last minute, picked everything up and off we go. Isn't that good? We're so blessed for people here. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. Lost it. Therefore, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, what we've been singing, isn't it? But a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We have been adopted. I know all about that, so does Dave from last week, really. I didn't really know my natural dad. You know, he died when I was young. My mum and dad died when I was 13, so I never knew my dad really well. We were adopted by an aunt and uncle, and they were just the most wonderful father and mother you could ask for, you know, and I had a wonderful, loving family of brothers and sisters. I was really blessed. I was adopted into a wonderful family. And in it all, when I look back, you know, I can see the hand of God in it. You know, I can see God watching out for me, looking after me, taking care of me, providing for me. And that's true spiritually as well. First comes the natural and then the spiritual. You know, I was adopted and I was adopted into God's family. when I received Jesus Christ, you know. And this is my family. This is the family of God here that I really appreciate, you know, and the family of God generally as well. And I'm so grateful as well here for those who have been spiritual fathers to me and spiritual mothers to me. I'm really thankful for that, that was God's provision. But when I was adopted, my uncle, who was just, as I said, a wonderful father, I never called him Dad. He was always my uncle. He was always Uncle Ed, you know, because in my mind, and, you know, can understand it, he wasn't really my natural dad, you know. So as much as he was a father to me, I just called him Uncle Ed. And when he was dying at the end, he, sometimes, you know, when people are moving on, passing on, you don't get to say the things you want to say. Well, they don't get to say the things they want to say. It's so important, isn't it, to say them when you can. And Uncle Ed said to me one day, you know, towards the end, "Do you know, son, you've always been my son." I'm trying not to get upset. "You've always been a son to me. I've never regarded you any different than my own three sons. And I love you." Isn't that a lovely thing to say? Isn't that just wonderful? And I blubbered and said, "I love you too," you know. But, you know, if we have been adopted into God's family, but that doesn't mean we're second-class citizens. Because the Bible says we were predestined before the foundation of the world. He chose us, predestines us to be his sons. That's what it says in Ephesians. He predestines us to adoption as sons. So it's important that we know who God is as our Father. And it's absolutely vital that we know who we are as sons and daughters of God. And as Dave said last week, it's a battle in the mind. It's a battle to believe the truth rather than the lie. The whole Christian walk is one of, am I going to believe what God says? That's what faith is, you know. Or am I going to believe what my experience tells me, or what the world tells me, or we're still what the enemy tells me? Because he's a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. Are we going to believe the truth or a lie? As an example, the Bible says that there is no partiality with God. And that means that God has no favorites, that he loves us all equally. That's quite a big statement. Do we believe that? Well, I think most of us here, up here certainly, will believe that. We'll profess that we believe that because we know that's what the word says, you know. But in here, when it really matters, many of us don't really believe that. That we're all equal. That we're all the same. That God doesn't see us any different. That God loves us all equally. But something in here, for most of us, says, yeah, but not for me, you know. God must love so-and-so more than me because they're better than me, or, you know, I'm not as good as them, or that's how we really feel. Does that make sense? That's how we really feel. You know, and are we going to believe the truth of what God says, or are we going to believe the lie? I think it's interesting as well. I don't want to make a theology of this. It's just a point of interest, I suppose. When you hear people pray out loud, I think it's interesting to see who they pray to. Of course, it doesn't matter because of the Trinity, they're all one, whether it's Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit, you know. But people often pray, Lord, you know, or to the Lord or Jesus. And others pray quite often, Father, Heavenly Father. I just leave that with you, just a thought, isn't it, you know, who we relate to perhaps. So, the battle is, you know, are we going to believe truth or are we going to believe a lie? Now, on your notice sheet is, on the last page, is a sheet from our Discipleship Freedom in Christ course. And I'm going to finish with this shortly and invite a few people to share their own testimony of who Father God is. Perhaps Alan could get the first one up, is that possible? You're ahead of me. and this is, I think this is quite an interesting little exercise that I'd like you to do, not now, but for your homework, right? Is go through this list, because on the left-hand side is the lie that we often believe. The left-hand side is the lie that we often take on board as a result of our experience in life or what the world teaches us. And the right-hand side is the truth, the absolute, total, dependable truth of who God is and who we are as his sons and daughters. And it's quite challenging, I think, to look at this. If you read these statements quietly to yourself, when you have time and pray about them, you'll find some of them, you know, you'll have no problem believing. But others, because of your experience, you'll feel, do you know, I don't really believe that. I don't believe that's true. It doesn't feel true for me. I struggle to believe that. You know, and that's just indicating to you where the lie has taken root. You know, for instance, I'm just going to give a few examples. I'm not going to go through them all, but I renounce the lie that my Father God is. Never mind. If you can't get it, no? Oh, there we are. Distant, so distant I can hardly read it. And uninterested in me. Sometimes that's how we feel. I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is. Well, we'll do it from the thing. There we are. Intimate and involved. And there's some scriptures to back that up. Does that make sense? Just do one more. I renounce the lie that my Father God is stern and demanding. I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is accepting and filled with joy and love. And there's the scriptures. So I'd like you to do that sometime. And if you really struggle with some of those, if you think they're real issues for them, for you, then come and see one of us. You know, it's not today necessarily, but, you know, get prayer for it, all right? Okay, now I've talked enough. I've asked a few people to come and share just a thought, a few thoughts about what's important for them in terms of who they see Father God is. So, Jay, do you want to do that first?
Morning, everyone. I didn't pray that. Normally I pray, God, help me not to cry. But I know I will. So I pray that God would be able to help you to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to talk about God, the Encourager, the Father, only for a minute. But as a lot of you will know, I didn't know my natural father when I was a kid. He was a distant idea, if you like. And I only met him when I was 17, for 6 weeks before he died. But that's a whole other story. Because of the way I grew up, without knowing my dad, I got the chance to see my friends' dads, and some of them weren't great examples of what it is to be a father. And I think that helped me to get a picture of what the perfect father is, basically the absence of what they were. And I always said to myself, you know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. So, but when it came to, I think what a lot of people sort of struggle with the idea of God being the perfect father because of their experiences with their own dads. Like John said on the sheet, distant, that's a big one. You know, remember a story of a little girl who she spent all afternoon drawing this picture for her dad. She was looking forward to him coming home from work so she could give him the picture. She was dead excited. And when he came home, he looked at her. And the first thing he did was say, "What's that?" You know, when he criticised this straight away. And the little girl ran off in tears. And it's the wonderful thing is that God's not like that. You know, I looked up the definition of encourage, and some of the synonyms were to cheer, up, to buoy up, uplift, inspire, motivate, spur on, stir up, whip up, fire up, invigorate, vitalize, embolden, fortify, exhort, and spare. And I just thought that is what God does. And I think of my granddad. My granddad was sort of my main father figure. and some of the lowest points in my childhood were helped along by him. I'll give you a couple of examples. One was when I was about 2 or 3, he took me to Ormskirk Baths. And I had the armbands on and that, like, and I was a bit worried. But he said, come on, lad, you can do it. And it's those words, isn't it? You can do it. Sometimes that's all we need. He also promised me a Milky Way. So I shot across the pool. But another time, when I was 14, we walked from Liverpool to Leeds along the canal. It took us a week, like, we didn't do it in one day. But it would have took longer if my granddad hadn't been there, because he said, he always used to laugh telling people the story. He said he saw me walking like that. He said, what's up, lad? Are you hungry? I was like, he said, do you want a Mars bar, lad? And he said, my frown just went like that to a smile. But it's things like that, someone being there for you. And that's what God is. I always think of Mickey from the Rocky films. just saying, you know, come on, Rock, Mickey loves you. And it's someone, no one, sorry, no one after somebody there who loves you. And sometimes that's all it takes. And this is weird. But I was looking at doing this last night, and I remembered 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not know love does not know God. For God is love. And, you know, I've heard that verse all my life. But last night it just hit me. It doesn't say God is quite nice or God is quite good. It says God is love. And it sank in last night. And then I looked at what love is, and we all know, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. It was up before, and Tino mentioned it before. Oh, thanks, Sam. You know, I don't need to go through it because you all know it. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. And it bears no record of wrongs. That's a big one, isn't it? And I think that's why a lot of people beat themselves up. They think God's there with a big stick. He's an angry dad, but he's not. He will correct you. But that's part of the encouragement. He'll do it gently. I'll give you one example before I finish. I was driving with Andrew and the kids in the car one time on Derby Road, and this guy was behind me, and he was beeping to get past. So eventually, me being dozy, like I hadn't seen him for a while, but I saw him, so I thought, oh, best move over. He looks like he's in a hurry. So as he went past me, he was giving me all the fingers and that, you know. I thought, I'm not having this. So I sped up to be alongside him, like. And we pulled up by Bank Hall. The lights there. So I looked at him like that. And he was looking at me. And he was like that, what? I could feel the red mist. And then suddenly, I crashed into this car in front of me. And I think it was God's way of saying, chill out, man. You know, you're bigger than that. So I think that, you know, God encourages us in all different ways. And the last one is when I was a kid, I used to get bullied a lot. I was like one of the only black kids on our estate. And I remember my granddad coming around one day, and he said, who's that? You know, he'd heard that I was getting bullied. And I pointed out the lad, and he didn't go over and do anything, but he said to me, you could eat him, lad. You could have him for breakfast. And from that day on, I never got bullied again. And it wasn't because I ate him, because I didn't. even though my ancestors were cannibals. But it was just that encouragement, you know. And that's what God does for us, isn't it? You know, he's there, and he's got our backs. So just be encouraged. Thank you.
And test me powerful. Don't we appreciate Jay? And we're glad he's in our family. Okay, I've asked John to show.
Hello, everyone. So John's asked us to share a few thoughts on the Father Heart of God. As you can see, not an easy subject because it's a very sensitive subject, isn't it? I'll just take this off. I want to start with by saying, you know, the father figures, you know, Happy Father's Day, Dad. And Happy Father's Day, Lord. And also, John Shergold is like a second dad as well, to me, personally. He's been there since day one, and so I want to honour him today. And thanks for asking us, John. So, I can't share on the Father's Heart of God without talking a little bit of my experience with God. So, I'm not giving a testimony today, but it's going to involve a few things. And so I'm back when I was 15, 16 years of age, and I'm in a mess. I told you it's sensitive. And I prayed, and I was praying, and I remember praying three prayers in particular, and the Lord answering those prayers. I just want to touch on the last prayer that I prayed when I was 16. And I wanted to become a Christian, and I knew that God was on my case, and I knew that I'd messed up big time. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, if there's anyone out there that's like me, I need to meet them. I really need to meet that person. And the Lord miraculously answered that prayer and literally sent that person to my front door. To this day, I don't even fully understand how that got answered, but it did get answered. And what that person had to say that day changed something in my heart, changed everything, because I could identify with someone. Sometimes growing up in a church is not always the easiest of things, because my perception of Father God was completely distorted, believe it or not. And it wasn't through the lack of my good upbringing. All that came alive in me when I turned to the Lord. But where it was distorted was, I actually honestly thought that all Christians were just good people. And I knew I wasn't one of them. So I thought that all the people that were around me in my life were people that were good. The people that had stayed on the straight and narrow all their life. Can you imagine how deceived I was? But I really, the devil, remember the list that John put up? The devil had put those lies somewhere somewhere along the way in my heart, and I believe that. So I couldn't identify. I didn't know how I could ever be accepted. So my mum, good old mum, it's such a shame she's not here today. I really wanted her to hear this. So my mum had said, John, why don't you come away and give God a chance? And at the time, a couple of Liverpool churches had put an event on for a whole week in Pontins and Southport. I don't know if anyone remembers it. And it was just, it was amazing. And so I did go away, and I did give God that chance. And as I was sitting in one of the meetings, it was like I experienced God for... I won't look at him again. Looking at me dad's not helping. Right. So, sitting in a meeting, this is so near and dear because it's God, you know, and it's God's revelation of his love. So hard to say, isn't it? And so, I'm going to get through this, definitely. So I'm sitting there, and I'm praying to the Lord, and I'm experiencing the Holy Spirit in such an amazing way, and I want it. I'm like, I want this life, Lord, but I've been too bad. I've just done too many things wrong. I can't get through this. Straight away, the preacher looks at me, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit just looking through his eyes at me. And he says, how many times do I have to tell you, I've forgiven you, I've forgiven you, I've forgiven you? And when he was saying, when he, the Holy Spirit, was saying those words to me, I was just like getting washed. And the next words he said was, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm born again? Guess who that person was? It was me mum. And so I turned and looked at her and I said, I'm born again, with this beam from here to here. And my mum said, she was sitting there pinching herself to see if this was really real. And so in that moment, I came back from that meeting with these other Christians on a Wednesday. And the lad who originally came to see me said, John, what's happened to you? He says, you look like a completely different person. And I said, I am. and so the Lord, in that instant, the Lord saved me from a life of crime, a life of drugs. You know, you can only ask me, Dad. I didn't do things by halves. I went the whole way, you know, and one of my best friends was found dead in bed by his mum on overdose on heroin. But God had rescued me. And so my life changed. Everything in it changed. And I've never went back to that way of drugs. That was 25 years ago. I've never, ever gone back to anything like that. I got my first job in a builder's yard. Alan Crichton here. Do you remember coming in when I was a little 17-year-old? And I stuck that out for 3 years, and then I started my own business doing cleaning, as many of you know. I've been doing that 21 years now, by the way. And so I was married, I had 3 children, and I'd love to say it was a happy story ever after, but it wasn't the case, and my marriage failed. And in that moment... once again, it was the darkest time. But God wasn't about to let me go. And so I knew that God was on my case. And do you remember when we were doing Bible, and I thought someone skipped my name when I first heard that. You can't laugh at that. And we're doing this constant reading of the scriptures. It's just, and it was my go. Dad had asked me, and it was just like this surreal moment, because the only people that were in the room was the person who was finishing off reading the scriptures, and it was my go. It was all allotted to different people. And so I get up and I stood here, and the presence of God just came upon me, and I melted a little bit like now. And I just couldn't even get past the first verse. Guess what that verse was? It was the Lord's Prayer. And I stood here and said, "Our Father," do you remember? I couldn't get any more words out. I'd melted, I'd gone. It was just the Lord was saying to me, "I'm still your Father." You know, and it was part of my journey. And I want to finish with this story. I was in, again, still going through this horrible time of my life that I wouldn't wish upon anyone. And I was sleeping in my mum and dad's room, and my children were there. And I remember facing the wall. I felt like Hezekiah in that moment, you know, where he'd been told his life's finished, and he turned and prayed facing the wall to God, and God answered that prayer. And I literally felt like that. And so I faced the wall, and on the wall was a picture of Jesus holding a lamb. And the words from Isaiah, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And if that wasn't enough, I prayed and I said, "Lord, are we still okay?" You know, it was so important to me. I didn't want to wreck my relationship with Father God. And the next day, I was a mess. I was an absolute mess at that time. And I was like, I was just depressed, and it was just black, just darkness. And this guy had been hounding me for a business meeting, wanting to sell me something. But he was a Christian. So I'd agreed to see this guy. And so he came round, and I said to him, "I can't do this, you know." I just started to tell him how I felt. I said, me head's just not in it. I said, I can't do it. And the next minute, the presence of the Lord just filled the room. And guess what he said? And by the way, I know this guy quite well, and he doesn't do prophecies. You know, it's just, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He says, "John, I've got a word for you." He says, "My son, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I was in bits again. But this time it was a happy bit, because I felt like a huge weight had lifted off my shoulders. I want to close by saying, can you imagine a door frame and a door, but on the other side, it's just the same room. So you're not really, well, it doesn't feel like it, that you're going through into a different room. But asking Jesus into your heart is like opening that door and walking through it. Everything looks the same in your life. Everything's still going to be the same, what you can see. But in your heart, you've just stepped into a different world. And that's, I feel like I need to say that today, because I feel like I know there's people in this room who haven't experienced that yet. And Jesus wants you to experience it, and he wants you to understand. And so in many senses, it's trying to work things out, isn't it, this journey. Father God, in one sense, is physically millions of miles away, but he's not, because his Holy Spirit is here with us, doing life with us here on planet Earth. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, whatever way you want to say it, give your life to the Lord, or asking Christ into your life, you're submitting to the Lordship of Jesus, and you're saying, "Lord, I can't do this and I don't want to do it. I want to give my life into your hands from here on. From that day that you say that prayer, from that moment, your name is written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. That's what I tell people. As soon as they say that prayer, as soon as they give their heart to the Lord, everything changes. Absolutely everything changes. And then you've got his spirit in your life, and then suddenly you can understand and feel what it's like to belong to the most amazing Father heart of God. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, John. Isn't testimony powerful? Yeah. You know, it says, doesn't it, in the gospel somewhere that if they'd written everything about Jesus and what he'd done, the world itself couldn't contain them. I'm sure we could all get up and share about our Father God, couldn't we? Just wonderful. We're going to close the meeting now, but if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know God as their Father, don't leave this place without seeing someone, you know? Like John says, it's just opening the doors, just a prayer away to come into that relationship. Let's pray and then we'll close the meeting. Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your reality in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can say, our Father, Lord, our Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've made us sons and daughters of the Most High God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who we are in you, Lord, that you forgive us, you cleanse us, Lord, you set us free, Lord. Lord, you give us the power to overcome sin, Lord. Lord, you're interested in every aspect and every detail of our lives, Father. Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. You're a faithful God. And Lord, we want to give you thanks this morning for what we heard, Lord. Glorious testimony of who you are, Lord, and who we are in you. So, Lord, Father, just keep us in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Keep us in the way of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, coffee in.